We're holding on I Chesed days about a third of the way down the Amud, by the line begins no say. A few lines, about 10 lines above the Mishnah. So we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Amar Geirush and Nasa Geirush. We said that we have three different opinions about what's the story of children of Geirim, daughters of Geirim marrying Kohen. We have the Yehuda who says that the father is a Geir, that no. We had Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov saying only if both parents are Geirim is no. And we had Rabbi Yossi saying that doesn't matter even if both of them are Geirim, it's all fine. And then actually we had a fourth opinion we mentioned in the Gemara yesterday of Rabbi Shimon, who said that even if the girl was actually born a Goita, as long as she was converted under 3 years old, then it's also good. So, Rabbi Yossi amar Geirush not the Geir. That's Amar Rav Hamnuna b'Shmei De'ula. Halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. The halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So even if both parents are Geirim, as long as the child was conceived after they're Geirus, then she can marry a Kohen. V'chein Amar Rav Baba Chana halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. And Rav Baba Chana says the same thing. That the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. However, well, because the halacha is like a basic, that's what it is. However, umiyoyim shechara beis mikdash. However, even though technically that's true, since the beis mikdash was destroyed, nagu koyanim still sovat. When the koyanim have made a minhag and an extra minhag to themselves, still means like something fancy, sort of like an extra minhag for themselves. To Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that they hold, but Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, they don't go so far as like Rabbi Yehuda to say if the father is a geir, then it's no good. But they do it hold, but they do at least do practically speaking, like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that if both parents are geirim, then they don't marry the daughters. But folks can point out, Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz and others point
they don't
out.
Marry, but they don't say. B'dievet,
well, B'dievet we'll talk about in a second, but yeah, L'chachila they don't. The reason why, what's the difference between before and after this mikdash is destroyed, turns to Sabina Peret, another Rishon explain, the reason is because before, we learned a couple of days ago that in the time of the Beis Mikdash, there was an office there, either the Sanhedrin, either the Rishka Sagazit, or some other office, whose job was to keep track of the Yuchsin and the Kohanim and Levi. After the Beis Mikdash is destroyed, that's all gone. It's more likely that there may be psulim intermarried, and therefore they wanted to keep an extra level of separation in order to make sure that their yuchsin stay as clean as possible.
And for Israel and Levi.
For Israel and Levi, that's not even less of an issue.
No, but they didn't.
No, they didn't take on the psul strictly for Kohanim. I mean, even Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov are not saying this didn't seem to Israel and only for Kohanim.
Well,
fine. Okay. Amr of Nachman, Amali Huna, that Rav Nachman says of Huna, meaning Rav Huna, told me, Bali Malik, what it is like this. If a Kohen comes to ask what to do, modem like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and we tell him, follow what Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is saying, don't marry this girl if both her parents are gay. Nafta, however, if he married her, a Metzina is manner, we don't force him to divorce her, kid of Yaisi like Rav Yaisi, because technically that law is wrong. And that's how it is in Torah. So that's the thing. L'chatchila, she should not marry a Kohen, but b'dievet, we don't force them together. Okay, so now we're done with Kohenim and Levim and the rest of that group. And now we're now continuing more on topics of Yuchsin. So one of the Aksara Yuchsin that we had at the beginning of the Perek is Mamzerim. So therefore, we have a Mishnah that talks about Dinim involving Mamzerim. Ha'oimah b'nizem Mamzer, if somebody says, this son of mine is a Mamzer, ain't a neman, and he's not believed. Now Rashi says, what does it mean? If he says it's my son, implying in other words that he's claiming fathership. We're not saying in other words that talking about that his wife he's claiming that his wife was Mizan. We're talking about the other way around. Rashi says we're talking about that he's saying.
Why are we just saying we're not the wife? Could be either way.
We're saying either way ain't a neman. We're saying he's not believed. Because the point is like this. If he's saying the son of the mamzer, if by that he was saying he's not even my son, then of course he's ain't an emma, he's one a.
He says
but what does it mean b'nizem mamzer? There's two ways for this child to be a mamzer, right? One is leaving aside the possibility that he himself is a mamzer. Let's set that aside because if he were the mamzer, we'd have some kind of evidence. We don't know. So how can the son be a mamzer? There's two possibilities. Either the guy was married to a woman and this woman was Mizaya. But in that case, that child is not his. You can't say b'nizeh. You can't be saying this son of mine. He's not his son. The only other way would be where he's saying, I am acknowledging paternity. However, I have relationships. It could be with an ashesh, could be with a relative, whatever it is. Somebody who the chiyu korek involved, and I did it. Then ain't a neman, then he's not believed. either, so Rashi says the reason is because he's a relative, and so he's not kosher, he's not kosher to give eder. Various other Rishonim talk about other possibilities also, including, talk about various other possibilities, why we would say that Einu Neman. One interesting thing they bring up, maybe we should say he's not Neman because Einu Neman is not Mirosha. Again, if the scenario is he's saying that I was Mazana with a woman who was a Chiyuv Karet, why should we, of course we can't believe him, but we can't make himself a Rosha. The answer is that not necessarily, because what if he were to say, for example, when I was Mazana with her, I didn't know that it was an Ishus Karet. I didn't realize she was an Ashur Tish, let's say. Later on, I found out. He wouldn't be made to Machmer Asha. Nevertheless, we're still saying we don't believe him.
Now, is it for all the Yisuri Karas only, or for us, if this mission is like Rabbi Akiva?
No, well, if it's like Rabbi Akiva, it would be even Yisuri Lachim. We're not talking about that. We're talking about according to Sam Mishnah, yeah. Even if both of them admit, even if both the father and the mother are saying about the unborn child in her womb, mamzehu, nevertheless, enim nemanim, they're not believers. Now, what the chiddush is, to say that he's a mamzer.
Does that mean the child can marry a kohen if she's a mamzer?
Well, if it's a mamzeres, then she wouldn't be able to marry any Yisrael anyhow. Yeah, we're saying that's the point. It's not a matter of kohen, it's a matter of her or him marrying a regular bat Yisrael or a regular ben Yisrael. No, Einim Nemanim means exactly that. We don't believe him. We don't believe him, and therefore the child is not considered a mamzer, unless we have other evidence.
So why don't we say Einim Nemanim instead of saying Einim
Nemanim? Einim Nemanim means they are not believed, meaning either the mother or the father. We'll see in the Gemara why we need to mention this. Rabbi Huda Einim Nemanim. Rabbi Huda says we do believe them. Not necessarily. Wait. Okay, but he has a reason for it. He's going to learn it from Paul. And what do you mean, even if both of them? What's the chiddush in that, more than if the father himself says? It's like this. It goes like this. The Mishnah is telling us first the more obvious case and then the less obvious case. Needless to say that if the father says that the child is a mamzer, where he doesn't have any way of knowing for sure whether this child is from him or somebody else. Again, Rashi's scenario where he's saying that this is from a woman who's also by an Issus Karet to me. We've managed with this. Granted, he knows he was Mazana. Other people could have been Mazana with her as well. So he has no way of knowing for sure that this child really is his. So then we would say, of course, we can't believe him because we don't even know if he has any relation to this child. Even if she is saying where she herself has to know who she became pregnant from, she could have, but ordinarily we're talking about that we're not. It's a good question. I mean, do those things have validity in halacha? I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know.
We have evidence, DNA evidence, the halacha would be still on there.
Maybe not. I mean, the fact of the matter is that the fact of the matter is, first of all, DNA tests are not 100% reliable all the time. There are false positives and false negatives. And, okay, you know, I don't know. It's a good question. Okay. Anyway, so but she Jakimla. No, we're not talking about where she was Mazana with one man after another. We're talking about she was Mazana with one man, a month later with another, etc. Maybe. But fine, she'll know which one she became. She'll have a fair idea which one she became pregnant from.
Even then,
loy mehemna. Then still, we don't believe it. And the other way around also, the loy mevoya hecha the isle pazaka the kashrus, the loy mehemna. Needless to say that where the child already has a pazaka of kashrus, mainly, what's the first case in the Mishnah is, the child was already born, and then the father comes to base and says, b'ni zem ma'aser. Of course we wouldn't believe him. The child was already born with a cheskas kashrus. One aid, especially if he's a relative, the father can't overturn that. Ela filo uber nami, but that's why the second part of the Mishnah continues, that even if it's an unborn baby, the less the chazaka the kashrus, he has no cheskas kashrus yet. Even so, loy mehemni, we still don't believe him.
We don't believe him or both?
Both, we're saying. That's two clauses in the Mishnah, I'm saying. However, Rabbi Yehuda Oymer Nemanim, Rabbi Yehuda says we do believe them. And Rashi points out, by the way, that Rabbi Yehuda is actually arguing on both cases, both the case where the father himself says and the case where both of them say. Yeah. Why is that? Kidatanya, as we learn in the Braitha. Now the Pasuk says that we mentioned this earlier a few days ago, that the Pasuk says Ki yetzeh b'chor ben asnu yachir, that it says that the b'chor, the one who's born from in the sort of scenario over there, the hated wife, Yakir, he should recognize him to give him a double piercing. No, not a Gzeira Shava. We said, no, we didn't use a Gzeira Shava, but the word Yakir, the simple meaning of Yakir is he should recognize, like he should acknowledge him as a firstborn. But Yakir literally means you should, he should make him be recognized. So therefore, that means Yakirenu Lachayrim. It
Yakir,
means
he will
recognize. We're understanding it to also mean Yakirenu Lachayrim, that he will make him recognize to others. Yakir, as in, it's a transitive verb. Not just an intransitive verb he will recognize, but a transitive verb he will make him, he will make others recognize him. Mikan Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Yakir means Yakirenu Lachayr. It means he will make him recognize as the Bechor by others. Mikan Amar Rabbi Yehuda, based on this, Rabbi Yehuda says, we have a Xeris Akhasu, Neman Adam Lema Zebani Bechor, that a man is believed to say that this child of mine is, this son of mine is a Bechor, which, by the way, we had the other day, Tosis pointed out, even that would even be true if by saying that he's effectively saying that all the other children who up until now were assumed to be his are really not. Nevertheless, we're saying that he's believed. And Rabbi Yehuda continues, just as a father has the ability to say this son of mine is a Bechor, so also he has the ability to say that this son of mine is the son of a woman who was divorced, again, if he's a Kohen, or a Chalutza, even if up until now we didn't have any Chazaka of that.
Right, no, I understand, but in these cases, you don't use Lashon Yakir.
No, but just as he has the ability to declare him Bechor. That's what Tosfos mentioned the other day, because we see that even when he's Yakir, who is recognizing as firstborn, that can involve that he's automatically thereby declaring that the older children are, by how could he have older children if this one is a Bechor? Necessarily, those must not be his children. They must be Mamzer. And nevertheless, it's possible to say that he has the ability to do that. There's a cousin.
If he has
three sons, he has Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. One day he comes and says, Levi is my Bechor. So what happened to Reuben and Shimon? Obviously, by implication, he's saying Reuben and Shimon are not his children.
But they're not my Bechor.
But if they're not, we know that Reuben and Shimon are older than Levi.
Ah.
So by implication, yeah, that's the thing. So therefore, just as he has the ability to do good for the child by saying he's a Bechor, which by implication then does bad for the other children, so he has the ability to do bad for the child as well by saying he's a Ben Gurush or a Ben Chalutza, for example. Whereas the Chacham say he's not believed. So that's the Machlokes in our mission. So the Chachamim are saying that he's not believed because he's a relative or he's Eidechad or whatever, and Rabbi Hood is saying all fine and dandy, but there's a custom that a father is believed on.
From the Lashon
Yakir. Omalei Rav Nachman Meitzchok L'Rava. Dishleim L'Rav Yehuda. Now, let's consider this. I can understand the point of Rav Yehuda, I need to give Yakir. That is why according to Rav Yehuda. That's the very reason why the Torah had to write the word Yakir in the first place. El L'Rabbanan Yakir L'Rava. According to L'Rabbanan, why the father did have to say the word Yakir, given that according to them, the father does not have this ability. Yeah, well, what are they using it for? The answer is, B'tzorech HaKeira. Fine, but you're talking about a case where he needs to be recognized. In other words, if the father and his children have been living here all this time, and everybody has always assumed that Reuben is the Bechor, let's say, then fine, according to the Chacham, he doesn't have the ability to say that actually Levi is the Bechor. However, what if he comes from the Dinas Hayam? What if he comes from some overseas country? We never knew who his Bechor is. So now, when he comes, he has the ability to say, among these children that are with me, this one is my Bechor.
Meaning the
others? Yeah, not meaning others. Not to say that the other ones are Mamzadim or whatnot, but to say, Pashat, which one is the eldest, and therefore is the Bechor.
We know.
So how would we know? He came from the Dinas Hayam. We don't know if they're both physicists or anything. But what if they were twins? What if there were twins among them? The point is, that's what the Chacham say, Yakir, for that, in that kind of case, the father has Ne'emanus, that if he had no idea before of what's going on with him and his children, he has the ability to say that to identify which one of them is the Bechor.
Even though he was not there.
Even though, right. Well, even though he wasn't around us at the time, right. Even though he had no Chazak off. Right, right.
That's granted by the Torah.
Yeah.
And that's the use of the coming maker that you're asking us.
Yeah. So the question is, Lamai Hill, so fine, what relevance is recognizing him as a Bechor? Lots of like Pishnayim is to give him a double portion, and the question is, Pshita. In that case, the whole thing is Poshit. Lamalik Krovin, what do you even need a Poshit for it? After all, doesn't he basically have a migui? If he wanted, he could disperse his nechosim however he wanted. He could say, without actually going and identifying in Beis Din or whatever, identifying Reuven as a bechor, he could choose voluntarily to give him a double portion anyhow. That's the shitter. What do we need? Exactly. And actually, this Gemara is in Brava Basra as well. The Rashbam over there explains that the question is not only on Chacham, the question is on Rabbi Yehuda as well, really. Because either way, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Yaakov gives him the ability to declare him a Bechor, and then based on that, we deduce from that that he can declare him Ben Grosh or Ben Chalos. Again, yeah, you don't need Yaakov for that purpose, because Yaakov itself, you have other ways of knowing that he's a Bechor. That's the question. Migui basically could be used by either one, yeah. So the answer is, v'nechosim shenafel achamekan. Yes, but what about, you're talking about, for example, the chosim that the father got a hold of afterwards. Let's say, in other words, he comes in front of us, he comes from a din of hayam with a bunch of children. He comes to Beis Din and he says, you should know, Reuven is my bechor. Fine. Up until now, he had a migur, because any property that he had, we can trust him that Reuven is the bechor, because anyway, if he chose, he could have given Reuven a double portion of it, mechai. Fine. What happens to any nechosim that he gets after that? The migur doesn't apply to those. After he declared Reuven the bechor, yeah. He didn't have them at the time. Therefore, we need the word Yaakov to tell us that even though that having declared Reuven a bechor, having identified him as a bechor in front of Beis Din, has that effect now on the future nechosim as well. We wouldn't know that if it weren't for the cult of Yaakov.
But he's still, even after he recognized him, he could still not give them anything to his bechor.
No, but once he identified him as a bechor, he doesn't have the ability to take that. So that's the point.
He doesn't have the ability to
take it back.
He can still give
his that's fine, but at that point, we don't have the migri anymore that if he wanted, he could have gave it in the future of a cousin, because in the future of a cousin, he didn't have them at the time. Yeah. However, what about a little mayor drama, other machna, drama, shalabola, other yakir, dominate? Fine. What about a coin to a mayor who says you can be machna, something that doesn't exist yet? But how does he understand it? The answer is shalokalek shu goitli. Fine, but we could be talking about a case where he got the nechassim. No, when he was already a goitis, when he's already on his deathbed. Okay. So what's the point? What's the difference about when he's a goitis or not? Rashi explains like this: when he's a goitis, he does not, even though he's still alive, he does not have the ability to give him matana. Therefore, the migui falls away. What the whole migui is that he could have given these nechassim as a matana while he was alive. Well, once he was a goitis, Rashi says he doesn't have the ability to do that anymore. Now, well, that's the question. Tosfos asks, why not? A goitis is considered chai v'chol dvarav. He's considered living for all purposes, including, for example, we look at Gittin that he can still have a get delivered while he's a goitis, etc. That's the question, Tosfos says. The Tosfos answer is that what we mean over here is because he's a goitis, generally speaking, he's unable to speak. And because he's unable to speak, he's unable physically to be able to give him a comment. Generally speaking, a goitis is unable to speak. That's the assumption.
Sorry.
Now,
Wait. Are they paying for the hall?
I don't know, but whatever. It's true that they're being a little noisy. But, okay. I know, but yeah. It should have a little bit of credit. Okay. Anyway, so Tosfos is saying that because he can't speak. Then on top of that, there are other Rishonim, the Ritva and others, who talk about the idea, and they say maybe Tosfos means this as well, that it's not a problem so much that he can't speak. The problem is if he can't speak, we're not sure if he's in his right mind anymore. Remember, we learned in Gittin. That's the thing. So we learned in Gittin the case where a person becomes mute and you have to test him. You have to ask him a bunch of yes and no questions in various orders to make sure that he's still mentally good. That's the point. The point is not so much whether he can speak or not. The point is he may not be mentally competent. Anyway, the bottom line is, however you learn it, the point is the migui doesn't exist anymore. That is why it's for that kind of scenario that the Chacham would say you need the word yakir. And even Rabbi Yehuda, that's why he would say you need yakir.
Even if he's not competent, he can still make...
So even if he's not competent, any nechosim that become his, any nechosim that come into his possession while he's a goitis will go to this bechor as well. Once he identified him previously as a bechor, then that has an effect even on the nechosim that he gets when he's a goitis, where otherwise he would not have had the ability to give him away mechai.
Why is it something that the property that he's giving to the bechor that's not here?
Dovah Shalom Bala Olam would be that he didn't earn it yet. He didn't earn it yet. Let's say, forget about that. Yeah, let's say, for example, his own father hadn't died yet and then bequeathed him the property. Let's say somebody gave him a gift, whatever. You could have all kinds of scenarios. Yeah. Okay. Mishnah says. Now, this Mishnah is actually going to be talking, again, about Kiddushin, which is the first one in quite some time. However, it's also connected to our Perek in the sense that the Gemara is going to explain that it has to do with matters of Yuchtin. So even though on the surface, when we learn the Mishnah, we're not going to see anything about Yuchtin, when we learn the Gemara, we will see that it has a connection to our Perek. Mishnah says, Mishin Nosen Reshus L'Shlucha L'Kaddish Pito. If somebody gave his Shliach permission to be Mekaddish's daughter to anybody, not to one specific person, and then while the shliach was still out and about, the father went and was a kaddisher himself. We quoted part of it before. We quoted the sefer of it earlier in the third parak. Yeah. In the second parak, rather. The holach hu v'kitcha, and then he himself went and was a kaddisher. No, it was the same person. There wouldn't be any suffer. So it depends. Im shaloi kodmu, if the father's kiddushin came first, kiddushin, then those kiddushin are valid, because by doing that, effectively, what it means is he was mevato the shliach shlichus. And therefore, the shliach doesn't have the shlichus anymore, therefore, the father's kiddushin. The im shaloi kodmu, if the shliach kiddushin come first, kiddushin, then the shliach kiddushin are the valid ones.
How would we know?
You find out the date afterwards when the shliach gets back. You ask him what date would you ask.
That's right.
The im any adura. What if you don't know? They both did it on the same date and they don't have their watches synchronized. Yeah. Shneim noisim get. Both of these men, both of the men that the shliach and the father respectively, and then the kind of sure to have to give her a get. The im rotu, or if they want echad noisim get, echad konis, one of them can give her a get and the other one can marry her. The chain, and now comes the part that we quoted before. That we quoted before. On test. Ha'isha shenofne reshus l'shlocha l'kadif l'kadsha. If a woman gave, it was the beginning of the third paragraph. We talked about it. If a woman gave permission to her own shliach to be l'kadisha, so here we're talking about already she's a beget. So she already is in her own reshus to accept tradition on her own behalf. So again, she sent a shliach. V'hoch v'kidsha etatma. And then again, while the shliach is out. What, the shliach? No, her shliach is not. No, her shliach could be a woman. I don't know. And she went, meanwhile, as Makadish herself to some man. So again, im shalor kodbu kudushay kudushin, same idea. If her kudushin comes first, then hers is a valid one, because by doing that, effectively, she was mevatel the shliach. Vim shal shlucha kodbu kudushay kudushin, vim einim yodim. And again, if they don't know which one came first, shneim noisim laget, both men have to give her a get. Vim roptu echad noisim laget, vachad koinus, or if they want, one of them can give her a get, and the other one can marry her. Same idea.
In two cases, it's not so, one can give a get, and one can be koinus. How does that take away the problem? Let's say Naka Shimon was the one that brought her in and she engaged her, right? So by Reuben giving a get, how does that help?
Okay, so you're asking, should Shimon have to give her Kedushin over again?
Right, because...
So there are actually Mephoshim, the Maharif, and others who learn that, yes. We don't mean that Shimon will be able to marry her without another kiddushin. He'll still have to give her another kiddushin just in case his came after the other one. All it means is we're not going to ask him to marry her on the off chance that maybe she was in Scottish to him and then married to somebody else and now it looks like Maksa Grushot, sort of.
Okay.
We're not worried. Having said that, though, there are the Ma'ariv Be'rav learns differently. He says that actually, no, there's no need for him to give kiddushin again. Because what you have here, effectively, I guess because he learns that it would be similar to the case that we had in the previous perek, where your Mekadosh that it should take effect in 30 days, and meanwhile somebody was Mekadosh in between, where once the original Kedushin disappeared, then the first Kedushin are able to be followed. Okay, so we had two cases in the Mishnah, one involving the father sending a Shliach, and one involving her sending a Shliach herself. What do we need both of them? We need both of them. Because if the Mishnah had only told us the case where he sends a shliach, you would argue the difference is. Now you have to consider like this: what do we say? We said in the Mishnah that when the father or she herself does kiddushin while the shliach is out and about, effectively by doing that they're trying to be mevatel the shlichus of the shliach. Now that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it, though, is you could say they're doing it for insurance purposes in case the shliach comes back unsuccessful or something, then they want to make sure that kiddushin had been accomplished no matter what. So that's what we have to discuss. If we were only told the case where the father sends a shliach, you would say the reason why we would say that if he was mekadosh while the shliach was still out and about, then he meant to be mevatelit mishum degavra kim le yuchtin, because men are more familiar with yuchtin. So here's the connection to our parak that we're talking about the matter of yuchtin. So what happened, in other words? So the father sends a shliach. He says, go find a miyuchas to marry my daughter. Meanwhile, while the shliach is out, the father thinks to himself, you know what? What if he comes back? What if he comes back with a guy who's not very miyuchas? I don't want that. Let me better go and look for myself and find somebody. But maybe he didn't mean to be mevatel it. If after all the guy comes back with a miyuchas, then good, you know. Aval itza, but when it comes to a woman, the like him love yuchs, and women are not as familiar with the whole concept of yuchs, and we had the other day that women, when they're arguing with each other, don't argue about matters of yuchs, and men do. So women are not as familiar with these things. Ema loin have a kedusha, a kedushin. You should argue, maybe her kedushin are not a valid kedushin. Maybe she's just doing it, and maybe she's just doing it for insurance purposes. In case he doesn't come back with a good candidate, then just in case I'll go be mekadosh myself. The Iyashmin and Gabadidah.
If she's doing it for insurance, why do we say Emaro Kiddushin?
Because if hers, that's what we're saying, if hers came first, then yeah, effectively it means she was Mevatel the Shlichus. We don't say she's doing it for insurance purposes. We say that she, by doing that, expressed the fact that she doesn't want the Shliach to do his Shlichus anymore. So if she manages to get there first, then good, she got there first.
But in either case, she doesn't want to be selected the man. And what is she?
No, if you sent a Shliach, if she, or in the first case, the mission of the father sent a shliach, the shliach was given a blank check. Any eligible candidate, any eligible man, go ahead and accept kiddushin from her on behalf.
Because
for her, she doesn't know so much. Right.
It has to be insurance.
Yeah. But it's not. That's the kiddush of the mission. It's not. Yeah. The Iyashmin Gabididah, conversely, if you only told us the case where she sent the shliach, you would say the reason is mishum de'itza daiko mintva. Because, as we learned back in Yevamos, over and over, a woman is very careful who she marries. So maybe then, yes, she sent the shliach, but then afterwards, if she goes, then afterwards, it's more likely to think, if she herself goes out and accepts kiddushin, it means by that, yes, she definitely meant to be mevatel the shliach. For sure, I don't trust him, you know what, I trust only my own judgment. Well, there you go, she was mevatel. She sent him in the first place. Now she's rethinking it. She wakes up the next morning and realizes, you know what, that was a mistake. Aval ihu, but when it comes to the father, Aval ihu, you could argue maybe it doesn't matter. As long as he gets an edim, he doesn't really care what quality it is. So mashma lan, that is why we needed both cases in the mission. So again, we mentioned it now the Gemara is going to use this case of our Mishnah, these cases where you had the Shliach Kiddushin and the father's Kiddushin or her own Kiddushin, whatever, and we don't know which one came first. The Gemara is going to use this as a jumping off point to discuss a sort of related matter. Again, where you have two possible people who are able to accept Kiddushin, one at one time, one at the other, and you're not sure what the status was at the time. Now, as background, so we know, we've learned many times before, a father has the ability to accept kiddushin on behalf of his daughter when she's a ketana or a naira, and she does not. But she has the ability to accept kiddushin on her own behalf when she's a begeret, and the father does not. So now we have to discuss. Kidsha via baderech. What if her father was mekadosh on the road? The kidsha atma ba'ir, and she was mekadosh herself in the city. That doesn't dab kapi. No. So one second. Hold on. If she's 12 and she has state fighter, at that point she becomes a naira. 6 months later, she becomes a begeret. Yeah. The father still has rishut. She's a naira, yeah. Binyorea beisavia, right? Kol shvach neurim lavia. Yeah. That's true. She's a gdola. True. But as far as kiddushin and one or two other things, yeah, we said gdeira kachotis. Binyorea beisavia. Yeah. This is also true, right? It doesn't dap kapi baderech ba'ir. The Gemara is just mentioning that because that's the typical kind of thing where he's on the road, she's in the city, and therefore they don't know, each one doesn't know what the other one has done. And more to the point, not so much they don't know, it's not just the fact that they don't know what each one has done, it's also we can't be sure at what point did she become a begeret. So now, baharehi begeret. Now, when everybody gets back together, we find that she's a begeret. We have a physical exam. Now, but we have to explain one thing. We've always talked about the idea that a begeret is 6 months after nairus. Not necessarily is that, actually.
It could be earlier.
It could be. Rashi explains that this. Basically, the definition of a begeret is that her body has further matured. Again, naira is that she just has shteisiros, it's the beginning of puberty. Begeret is that her upper body is developing. The Mishnah and the Gemara and Nidda discuss at some length the details of what are the simonim of begeret. Now, Rashi learns like this. Usually, those take 6 months to develop. However, not necessarily. The upper body simonim, the simonim of a begeret. And they're not all on the upper body. Some of them are on the lower body as well, but that's not negeah. The point is there's Shtei Cyrus and there's Simonim of a Begeret. There's, I think, eight of them that the Mishnah and the Gemara discuss over there. Usually it's 6 months between one and the other. But Rashi learns it doesn't necessarily have to be. Sometimes the Simonim of a Begeret can develop sooner than 6 months.
And then they prevail?
Yeah. That's how Rashi learns, that it's either 6 months or Simonim of a Begeret, whichever comes first. That's how Rashi learns. What? Well, it's not going to be right away by 12.
No.
At 12, she's just going to have Shtei Cyrus. No, if
she has.
Hold on. Shtei Cyrus, if Shtei Cyrus developed before 12, then it's not considered anything. It's considered a shuma. But yeah, you're right. It could happen that at 12, all of a sudden, overnight, she develops Shtei Cyrus and all the Simone Bagris. I suppose that just thing could happen. Yeah, anytime after 12. Then she'd be able to get it. That's how Rashi. Tosfos Yishonim over here learns differently. Tosfos Yishonim learns the Gemara to be saying that no, it must be exactly 6 months, no more, no less.
So for one, it's the Simonim,
yeah.
For the other one, it's the time.
Well, according to Rashi, no, it's either the Simonim or the time. That's the thing. Either 6 months.
Yeah,
the Tosfos Yishonim, it's only the time. Okay. So the point is, so her father was Mekadosher, she was Mekadosher. Now we find, we do an examination, according to Rashi, or 6 months have passed, according to Tosfos Yishonim, and we find her a Begeret. What happens? Rav Omar Harei Begeret Sofanenu. So Rav says, okay, well, she has a chazaka dehashta, it's called. There's a chazaka that right now we find her a Begeret. Therefore, we can assume that state of affairs was also true when the other Kedushin happened. Therefore, her Kedushin are valid, and her father's are not. Because again, once she's a Begeret, her father has no ability to be Mekadosher anymore.
What gave her the state of mind to even be Mekadosher? So, you know, she can be Mekadosher, she's a Begeret.
Maybe she knew, maybe she didn't. The point still remains. I mean, we're going to talk about it on the base. Is she contradicting the father that she was a Begeret? We'll get to that later. But right now, whatever. Right, it doesn't really matter whether she knew or not. The point is she accepted Kedushin on her own behalf. So that's what Rav said. So Rav, in other words, Rav is saying what we follow what's called Chazaka Dehashta. We go according to the Chazaka as things are now is how they were, basically. Or Shmuel Amar Chashin LeKedusha Shneim, whereas Shmuel says no, we have to be Choshesh for both Kedushin. She may have been, her father may have been Mekadosher when she was still a Naira, and then that would take effect. She may have been Mekadosh herself when she was a Begeret, and that took effect. We don't know which one came first, and we don't know whether she was a Begeret at the time when the father was Mekadosher. So therefore, we have to be Choshesh for both. In other words, that he's saying that you can't rely on the Chazaka Dehashta. You have to consider the Chazaka. You have to consider the Chazaka. Tosfos points out the Gemara could have mentioned a simpler case where just the father was Mekadosher and we don't know whether he was Mekadosher before or after Bagrus. The difference is in that case you would have a chazaka against then it's not such an issue. She has a chazaka that she was a penuya up until now. The problem is like this: no matter what, one way or the other, one of these kiddushin is kal. So therefore, you have a chazaka that she's a mekudeshes. The only question is which one it is that's valid. And therefore, Shmuel says you can't rely on the chazaka dehashta. You have to rely on you have to consider the opposite chazaka to that, the fact that right now she has chazaka being mekudesh, and we just don't know which one. And therefore, yeah, you have to be cautious.
How can Rob say that at the time nothing really counted? It's now that it counts, certainly when we see
that's her. The point. We find right now that she's Begeret. That's the question. Was she also a Begeret at the time of the kedushin? That's the key question. So wait, let's continue going through, and we'll see. Okay, so first of all, we want to ask Amos. When exactly are we talking about that we found that she's a Begeret? Elema v'soich shisha, are you going to say during the six, or not when we find she's a Begeret? When presumably did the father do these kiddushin, or that she did her kiddushin? Again, we're assuming her father's and her kiddushin were on the same day. What day was that? Was it within the 6 months after her nairus? Why? How can Rav say that now we find she's a Begeret? Hashtahu de Bagra, it's much more likely that now she became a Begeret. Because again, usually it takes 6 months, and it's within the 6 months. How do you have a chazaka to hashta to say just because now, a week or two later, or whatever it is, we examine her and find a Begeret, that you would have been that way earlier? Elah hashisha. Are you talking that it was after the 6 months? B'hanem Shmuel Chashin LeKedusha Shneim. How could Shmuel say Yechoshish for both Kedushin? V'ha'am Shmuel Ein Ben Nairus LeBagrus Ela Shisha Chadashim Bovat. Between Nairus and Bagrus is only 6 months. And again, according to Rashi, maximum is 6 months. And according to Tosfos Yeshanim, it's exactly 6 months. So therefore, Lo Tzricha, either way, we don't seem to understand. The answer is, Lo Tzricha, the Kaddish, Bahu Yoima, the Mashlim Shisha. Yes, but the case would be where he was Mekaddish on the actual day when the 6 months expire. So he was Mekaddish in the morning. She received Kiddushin on her behalf later in the afternoon. So now, what happens? Now, so Rashi explains, the problem is, that day, there is the Chazaka that she's going to become a Begeret. Therefore, that day, you don't have you can't say just because later at the end of the day we find her a begeret, we can assume that earlier in the day she was also. This is the day when her chazaka changes from a naira to a begeret.
When in the day she becomes.
So Rashi seems to say that there's no difference. It could be any time during the day. Right. But the point is that is the day.
Right.
Tosfos on Amud Beis discusses differently. Tosfos discusses that when the simonim of Bagrus develop, they tend to develop in the morning. Therefore, if we find her begeret in the evening, fine, we could think that it means that they developed in the morning, but not necessarily. Not necessarily, yeah. What?
6 months
after Shmuel had mentioned that concept, but Rav doesn't disagree with that concept of 6 months. Shmuel is just the one who recorded it. So that's the case. So Rav Amar Harei Begeret before Neinu. So Rav says, well, look, now we find her Begeret. Midahash to Begeret, the Safranam Begeret. Since now in the afternoon we find her Begeret, after her own Kiddushin, we can assume that in the morning she must have already been a Begeret. So when her father was Mekadosh her that morning, it was too late. The time was up for him to be Mekadosh. Therefore, we don't have to worry about his Kiddushin, only hers. Or Shmuel Amar, Hashdu, Daisi Simonim. Whereas Shmuel would say that no, maybe the Simonim only developed now in the afternoon. In the morning, she was still a Naira, and therefore the father's tradition was fully in effect, or maybe not, and therefore we have to be Choshish to both.
And give her a get.
And then both of them would need to give a get, or one would have to give a get, and one would have to be Konis, like we said in our Mishnah. Okay. Question is, Shmuel Maishnam and Mikvah. According to Shmuel, why should this be different than the case of a Mikvah? The Tnan, a case that in Mishnayis Mikvahs, we learned it a few months back in Gittin. Mikvah shenimdad v'nimtza chaser. If you measure a mikvah and you find that's missing, it doesn't have complete 40 sa. Kol taharos shenasu agabav v'mafreya. Then any taharos that were made using that mikvah, meaning anybody, for example, anybody who tovled in that mikvah and then was involved in touching the shrumah or touching, but right. L'mafreya, retroactively, back to the last time that was measured and found to be 40 saw, bein b'shut ha'yachad, bein b'shut ha'rabim, whether it's in b'shut ha'yachad or b'shut ha'rabim, which we've learned before in Nazir and in some other places, that usually there's a difference between b'shut ha'yachad and b'shut ha'rabim as far as sofet tumah. Here it doesn't make a difference. Rashi says that b'shut ha'yachad and b'shut ha'rabim refers to where the mikveh is. But there are other Rishonim who learn that's not where the mikveh is, where the object is, whatever. It doesn't matter. The point is, either way, retroactively, they're coming all the way back. In other words, so if we measured the mikveh and found it 40 saw Sunday morning, and somebody went and tovled in it Monday morning, and then later in the day on Monday we find it chaser, you have to assume that he studied tummy. You have to assume as soon as you finish measuring it on Sunday, then on Sunday morning, then it lost some of its 40 saw. That's the question. So according to Shmuel, why should it be different? Yeah, why there we say the mikveh may have lost its 40 saw right away. Here we say not. Mind you, Tosfos points out the question really is on Rav as well. The question is stronger on Shmuel. Yeah. Okay. The reason is shiny hosim to ikalame Muhammad Tomei Achas Gosse the Emelai Chavo. True, but there you have another chazaka to consider. The Tomei person or Kaylee or whatever it is has a chazaka of being Tomei up until that. So therefore, you have, yes, there's a chazaka de hashta that is lacking its 40 sa. There's a chazaka de mikara that at one time it had 40 sa. On the other hand, there's a chazaka de mekara of the person who was tummy, that he was tummy. And therefore, putting that all together, that's reason to say that, whereas in our case, we only have two chazakas, one against the other. We have chazaka de hashta that she's a begeret. There's a chazaka de mikara that she was a naira. And we don't know how to balance one against the other. Adraba Haman Mikvah Chaskasa Emelei Chaser. Adraba, why not say the Mikvah has a chazaka of not being lacking? The answer is Harei Chaser Lepanecha. You can't. That chazaka de Hashta is ruined by the fact that you check it now, and in fact it doesn't have 40 saw now. That chazaka de Meikara. The chazaka that the Mikvah had, the chazaka de Meikara, the original chazaka that at one time it had 40 saw, but now that you check it and find it doesn't have 40 saw, that chazaka is ruined. So you can't use it. Therefore, you're left with the chazaka that the man was tame, that the man or the keli was tame,
as opposed to an arkeli.
And the chazaka that right now, since the mikveh is found chaser than it probably was before. So yeah. And the question is, hachanami harebe geres b'fanecha. So say the same thing with this girl. Now you find her begeret. Let's assume that destroys the chazaka that she was once a naira. Yeah. The answer is hashter or debugger. Fine, but that's Shmuel's point. You can argue that she only became a begeret later that day. Next question is hashter nami hashter or debugger. Fine, but in the case of the mikveh, argue the same thing. Only now it became chaser. The answer is hashter tauter bereyasa ha chadu bereyasa. Yes, the difference is in the case of the mikveh, you have two things to the bad. Number one, you have the chazaka of the tamei person that he remains tamei until we know for sure that he became tar. Number two, you find the mikveh chaser. So those two things taken together are enough to say that all the taharas are considered tamei.
In our case, we have one only.
In our case, we have only one. Yeah, when it comes to the kedusha av, now she's a begera. So maybe the father's kedushin are no good. But if you were to say that she has that, if again according to Rashi, since this is the day when her chazaka changes, you don't have the ability to say that today she has the chazaka of being a begera. Today is the day when her status changes from naira to begera. Usually,
there's a maximum day.
Yeah.
What happens if there was a
That has nothing to do with it. 6 months or 6 months. That's talking about as far as birthday. That's something else.
It's just 6 months in time.
Yeah. Okay. Next. Ushmuel, Maishna Mechav. It's fine. According to Shmuel, why should there be any difference between this case and the case of the barrel of wine, the Tanya, which is a case that we learned also. We didn't talk about it before. We talk about slightly similar cases in Gittin, but not this particular case. Suppose that a person was checking a barrel of wine, intending to use it for truma on an ongoing basis. Meaning, like this. When you have a barrel of wine, let's take truma from it. It's a bit of a bother to say, this 100-gallon barrel of wine, I'm going to take 2 gallons out of it and give to the kohen. As you start emptying out a barrel of wine, the rest of the wine is more likely to spoil faster. So you may not want to do that. Instead, what you'll want to do is you'll set aside one barrel that you'll as time goes on, you'll designate more and more that barrel as truma. So you'll start out, let's say, you'll start out by saying that today I'm designating the bottom 2 gallons. I'm designating 2 gallons in the barrel of truma. So fine, right now it's 2 gallons of truma mixed in with all the rest of petal. Fine, nobody can drink it yet, but it's still closed. The next day, another 2 gallons. The next day, another 2. Until eventually, the whole 100 gallons or whatever it is has been designated truma on behalf of other barrels of wine that are in the wine cellar, and then you just take that whole barrel and give it to the
person.
Rather than emptying out from each of the individual barrels each time.
He's adding more wine.
No, he's not adding more wine into the barrel. He has a bunch of barrels. Actually, the scenario actually in the notes in the art school Gemara, they pointed out that the other barrels also have to be 98 gallons. Because two gallons of truma, and the other 98 are going to be the whole. So fine, let's say you have a bunch of 98-gallon barrels. You take one of those, you say, 2 gallons in this barrel are designated truma on behalf of this one. Then the next day, 2 are designated on behalf of this one. Next day, 2 on behalf of this one, et cetera. And so you've gone through 49, you've given truma on behalf of 49 other barrels, and then you take that whole barrel and give it to the cohen. Yeah. So now the whole 98-gallon, yeah. Yeah.
And then you give it to the
Kohen. Then you give that whole barrel to the Kohen. So you have a barrel that you've been checking every so often, that you've been using it to separate out truma. And then afterwards you check one time and you find that it's vinegar. And now Rashi points out there is an opinion in the Mishnayos over there in Trumas, in Masechet Trumas, that says that wine and vinegar are considered the same species, the same type of thing, because after all, vinegar is a spoiled wine, and therefore, if you give truma from vinegar on behalf of wine, it's valid at least on a deraisa level. Our Mishnah that we're discussing does not hold that. So now, what would happen? Anything that you designated in this barrel after it became vinegar wouldn't be truma. You would have had that, fine, this barrel truma has been taken for, this barrel has been taken for, this one, but not that one, let's say. At what point do we say that it became vinegar? Remember, you're only checking it every so often. Kol gimu yamim vaday. So for all 3 days, it's definite. Mikan va'elach sofik. After that, it's a sofik. Now, wait. Rashi says there's actually a three-way machlokas in Masechta Bava Basra. What does 3 day business mean? Does it mean that at some point you checked it? the first 3 days after you checked it, we can assume it's still warm. Anytime after those 3 days, it's already a suffix. So therefore, there'd be a suffix on all the other barrels whether Truma was taken on behalf of them. The other opinion is the other way around. The last 3 days before you found it vinegar are the ones that are no good, badai, in the sense that the other ones are definitely still temple. All the other ones in between, from when you last checked until 3 days before you now check, are a suffix. And then there's a third opinion that says that the first 3 days are badai good, the last 3 days are badai bad, and all the ones in between are suffix. Okay. The point of the matter is that but now in the discussion in Bava Basra over there, we point out a contradiction for between this case of the barrel and the case of the mikveh. Ma'ishna dehocha badai, ma'ishna dehocha sofik. Why is it in the case of the mikveh we're saying that it was badai, no good, and therefore all the taras are definitely tomei? Which shows, as a shonim point, that means that we're even saying, for example, that we go and burn those taras. As opposed to if we said it was a suffix, we would only tell them. We'd only say that we consider them suspended in a suspended state. And why is it in the case of the mikveh? Why is it in the case of the barrel of wine, we only say that it's a suffix, whether the other one had truma taken on their behalf? Surah says, the reason is because man tana chavis, Reb Shimoni. You know what? Because it's actually machlokes tanoim. The tana of the Mishnah about the barrel is a different tana than the one about the mikveh. He would hold that in the case of the mikveh, it's also not a badeh, it's only a suffix. The Tanya, as we learn in a braisa, this that we said, the braisa continues, that if it was in Rosh Hashanah, again, if the mikveh or the taras, as the case may be, were in Rosh Hashanah, then they're tahor, because the usual rule of suffix tumah Rosh Hashanah is tahor, which we learned in Nazir that we learn it from the dinim of
Sotah,
regardless of, yeah. The Rosh Hashanah Yachid Tolin, and even if it's in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, we don't say for sure it's tumah. We just say it's suspended. You're not sure whether it's tumah or not, because of the suffix. Why? So Rashi explains, why is that? We learned a whole sugya in Nazir that discussed where we know this concept of the difference between Sofet Tumah in Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. We said we learned it from the concept of a Soita. A Soita is alone with one man, by definition, that's what Alpha Sotri and Mishpoini. And we say that there's a good reason to think that she's Tumah, whereas if she had been together with two men, then you wouldn't. Therefore, we learned from that Sofet Tumah Rosh Hashanah is Tumah. Now, so Rav Shimon points out that a soita is one thing. Raglayim lajava, the very fact that there was pinui and there was stira, that gives a strong reason to believe that she's tummy. So fine, and that's a regular case. Sofet tumah v'shusha yachid. Rav Shimon holds, and this he holds throughout Shas, is not for sure tummy. It's only a sofet. Well, very well then. The case of the barrel of wine, is according to Rav Shimon. The Chachamim would tacitly disagree. And they would say that it's Vadai, not Tomei, but the Vadai that the other barrels have not had Truma after the first 3 days or whatever have not had Truma taken from them yet. Okay. So now again, the question.
Why would they say
Vadai? Because they're saying Sopik Truma, not Sopik Truma, because they're saying similar to the case of the Mikveh. Well, that's what we're going to ask. Wait. Aval and Abonim, Tevel and Akreya. We're saying, according to the Abonim, all the other barrels, again, after the first couple of days since you last checked, are definitely Tevel retroactive to when you last checked. Now again, we're back to the question: what are we saying? You know, the Chachamim are saying the same thing by Chavis and by Mikveh, right. But that contradicts what Shmuel is saying in our case. Shmuel is saying in our case, you're not sure what the status of this girl is when the father did the kedushin. Therefore, both of them are suffered kedushin. In the case of the Mikveh and in the case of the barrel of wine, we're saying Vadai. What's the difference? The answer is, again, shiny Hassan, because the Gemara gives a similar set of answers to the previous case of Mikveh. Shiny Hassan, because they may have a Tevel achaskotiv emel and nisan. Okay, the same thing, because the Tevel has a chazaka of being Tevel. So therefore, you have to assume that it has a, just like the Tomei person has a chazaka of being Tomei, the Tevel has a chazaka of being Tevel. Okay, again, the question becomes, like before, Adar Abaham and Yain achaskotiv emel and nisan. Fine, but you could argue the other way around. The wine has a chazaka of not being at one time it had a chazaka to the ikara of not being spoiled, of not being vinegar. Fine, but it's chomet, it's chomet in front of you now. Therefore, that chazaka to the ikara is ruined by the chazaka to hashta. The chazaka to hashta would tell us that it probably was the same all the time. Okay, hachanami harehi begeres lefanenu. Fine, again, the same thing in the case of the girl. You find her now a begeres. Shouldn't that destroy the chazaka to the ikara? Again, hashta would debugger. No, we would assume that she only became a begeres now, after the father's tradition. And again,
but that's not an answer.
Hachanami hashtu dachmis. Again, why don't we say the same thing with the wine? And again, the answer is just like with the case of the mikvah, hachum tauti l'reisa, hachum chod l'reisa hu vika. Because again, there's a difference of how many things against the chazaka do you have? In the case of the mikveh, and also in the case of the barrel of wine, you have two chazakas to the bad. Two negative chazakas. Number one, that you found the mikveh itself chaser, or that you found the barrel itself vinegar. Number two, that the person at one time was known to be tamei, and the tevel at one time was known to be tevel. Against that, you want to argue with the chazaka that at one time you checked the wine and found it to be good, and at one time you checked the mitzvah and found it to be good, and therefore you should assume that chazaka persisted sometime after that. You can't do that. Again, Mashenkin,
you can't do that
because you have two chazakas against one. You have two chazakas.
Why the fact you have two chazakas to determine when the event happened?
Because that's the point. Since now we have a chazaka to hashta, that mitzvah is chaser, or the barrel of wine is spoiled, and you also have a chazaka to be kara, that the person was tameh or that the tevel was tevel, those two chazakas taken together cancel out the chazaka to be ikara that we want to argue on to say that the wine was good and then therefore that the truma was taken properly, that the mikvah was good, and therefore the person is tahor and the tahor is tahor.
Told last that he checked the wine was good, that's not a problem.
Fine, up until that point. Yeah, obviously any truma that was done up until that point is fine. The Gemara says, name a kapenor. You're fine. Now that we established all that, but there's no contradiction to Shmuel, should we say that this whole machlokas of Rav and Shmuel is actually a machlokas kanoia? Now, we've learned before, we learned in Ksugas, we learned in various other places, the concept that a shchiv merah, if he gives his nechasim away, then that has a strong validity. However, it depends. There is one caveat to that. If eventually he recovers from his illness, then he's entitled to get it all back. Unless we have the case, if he left over some property for himself, we had a case in Ksumas, if he left over property for himself, then we can assume that his requests are permanent, because of the fact that he left over something for himself means he knew there's a good chance he's going to recover, and therefore he kept something for himself. Mashenkin, if he gave away everything, nobody gives away everything and leaves themselves completely destitute. We have to assume that he meant for it to be rescinded if he recovers. Good. Now, what happens then if somebody, a person writes a shtar matana. There's nothing in the shtar to say whether he was a bari at the time, whether he was healthy, or whether he was a shchiv merah. Later on, he's feeling better. Now, he wants to claim he was a shchiv merah, therefore he should get everything back. They want to claim he's a bari, and therefore it's all permanent gifts, and he gets nothing back. Mi moitzi miyad mi. Who gets to take away the nechasim from who? The answer is who moitzi miyadam. He gets to take it away from them b'loy raya, even without bringing any proof. Meaning, even if they went and already made a chazaka on the nechasim, he does not have to bring proof that he was a shchiv merah. We don't use the chazaka de mehashta. That's the point. That's why the Gemara is bringing this in over here. We don't say that we have the chazaka de hashta that he's healthy now. He probably was healthy before. We don't say that. The Hainin, Mitzin Miyadah, B'loi Raya, whereas they cannot take it away from him without any kind of proof. Meaning, if they want to keep the Nechasim, they have to be able to bring proof that he was a Shchiv Merah. Well, no, but in this case, no. In this case, he is Moitz Mechaberde without a Raya. They already have possession of it. They can't, Hainin, Mitzin Miyadah, B'loi Raya, they can't keep it. They can't keep it. Motzim Yadi doesn't mean to actually take it out of his possession. It means they can't hold on to what they already have without a raya that he was a shchiv merah. That he was a bari. Divir Rav Yaakov, that's what Rav Yaakov says. Rav Nosson says no. Im bari hu, it depends how he is right now. If right now when he wants to rescind it, he's healthy, all of lahavi raya shoy shchiv merah, then he's the one who's on the hook to bring proof that he was at the time a shchiv merah. And if now he's a shchiv merah, alei hem lahavi raya shabari haya. Then they are the ones who have to bring proof that he was a bari at the time.
Depends on
chazaka de hashta. Neimer Rav da amakir of Nosson or Shmuel da amakir of Yaakov. So it sounds like Rav is saying like Rav Nosson that we look at chazaka de hashta. Shmuel is going according to Rav Yaakov that we ignore the chazaka de hashta and look at and we have a suffix, and because we have a suffix, then we can't allow them to take it without a raya. Yeah, so the answer is no. Omalach Rav, I know that Amri Apilu Rav Yaakov. No, Rav can tell you that actually what I'm saying could even be according to Rav Yaakov. Ad time like comment of Yaakov Hossam, the Ithalamim Haman Mamanach Escotus. Okay, because Rabbi Yaakov is saying over there, the fact of the matter is, the money had a chazakah of belonging to him in the first place. We know that it belonged to him at one time. Therefore, we should assume that we still keep that. Therefore, fine, it may well be a suffix. It may well be a suffix. Therefore, you have to leave it in its chazakah.
Abel Hocham,
the suffix that we don't know whether it was a bari or a shivara.
And therefore,
fine. Therefore, they would be the ones who would have to bring the proof. Right. However, Abel Hocham, we name Ahmed Guf HaChazaka. Here, how can you say the Guf has its chazaka? The fact of the matter is, it's on the six month line. She doesn't have a chazaka of being a Naira or a Begaris because this is the day that it changes. And again, here's where Tosfos points out that this is the day. Typically, it changes in the morning, but not necessarily. So either way, however you look at it, according to Rashi or according to Tosfos, the point is, yeah, that you have no chazaka over here.
Right.
Unlike in the case of Rabbi Yaakov. Unlike Rabbi Yaakov would argue that you do have a suffix over there. We know that the nechassim at one time belonged to him, yeah? Or Shmuel, Amar, no dami, I feel a little of nothing. Conversely, Shmuel can say that what I'm saying might even agree with what Rav Nosson says. Because why is Rav Nosson saying over there that if he's now a bari, he has to prove that then he was a shlimera? The reason is because you have a chazaka of most people in the world. Most people are brim. Most people are healthy. Therefore, man dekamakus nafshem a chazaka. So if he wants to take himself out of that chazaka, if he wants to say that he was an exception to the general rule, havi alei leisuri raya, then Rav Nosson would argue that he has to bring a raya in order to do that. But here, she's not taking herself out of the original chazaka. There's a lot of nairis who become bogus on the six month day, and there are nairis and bogus coming in the world all the time. She's not taking herself out of any chazaka derubah. Therefore, even Rav Nosson might argue that that's the point. Shmuel is saying even Rav Nosson might argue that you actually have a suffix over here. In his case, he would say that basically we consider it a bata. We look at the chazaka. The chazaka dehashta, and we go based on that because right now he's a bari. We assume he was a bari before, but that's because the chazaka dehashta itself that he's a bari fits together with chazaka that most people agree with. Here there's no chazaka dehashta that fits with most of the world. Therefore, you have much more reason to say that there's a suffix.
Because there's no chazaka
that most women, that most girls are nairis or most are burgers, or and if I can, most girls do become burgers on the day that 6 months ends. But we still don't know when the day it was.
We say that most girls become burgeris on the 6 months, on the
yes.
end of the 6 months. Isn't that a chazaka?
Okay, but we don't know but that's the point. We don't know when in the day it was.
Because
we know that sometime on today. So again, Tosfos wants to say that usually it comes in the morning. Well, again, usually not necessarily, but
sometimes, but like we said, that most of the people were bream at the time. We could say over there that most of the girls on the 6 months.
Sometime on that day, but again, the point is when. Right, but when on that day? He was Makadisha in the morning. In the morning, was she already? We find her in the afternoon, a Begeris. Was she already a Begeris in the morning, or maybe not? Today is the day that it changes. That would be the equivalent of saying that there's a certain day when a person changes from a Bori to a Shivara. There isn't necessarily. There's no fixed day for that.
We assume that it was on the 6th month.
It is on the 6th month, but the 6th month day is the day when there's no chazaka, because that's the day when it tended to be. No, the very fact that it changes from one state to another means we have no chazaka, the hashta. And therefore, Shmuel would say that it's a suffix. Okay. So the Gemara tries again. Rav would say for the same reason you can't say Hamad Gufa Chazaka. Therefore her Guf has no Chazaka. So therefore we have to find there's no other Chazaka, but we have a Chazaka to Hashta. Right now we find her Begeres. Therefore we have reason to assume that it was that way earlier in the day as well.
She has a chazaka because she
has a chazaka to hashka, because right now she's physically a begeret.
But she won't because of 6 months.
Yeah, well, it is. That's the thing. Is it 6 months, or is it because she developed the signs? Whatever it is, the point still remains that right now we find her begaret. Therefore, there's reason to assume earlier the same day she also was. You're right. If it had been, if we were talking about yesterday, said at the beginning of the Sylvia, if we had said it was yesterday or the day before, whatever, we wouldn't say that.
Right.
But the Chazaka Dehashta at least is valid for today.
And for Shmuel.
Whereas Shmuel would say that no, because you know, Shmuel looks more at the Chazaka Demi'ikara, and there is no Chazaka Demi'ikara anymore, because today is the day when the Chazaka Demi'ikara changes.
Can her ask herself if she
wearing the armor? Wait, that's going to be the next thing. Neima Kahani Kanoi. Should we say then that the Machlokas of Rab and Shmuel is rather like the Machlokas of the following Kanoi? Fine, we said it can't be the Machlokas of Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Nosson. How about a different Machlokas? Again, if her father was Mekadosh on the road and she was Mekadosh herself on the same day in the city, and we find now that she's Begeret, one writer says that, okay, well, now she's a Begeret in front of us, therefore we have to assume she was a Begeret at the time of both Kedushin. The father's Kedushin are no good then, only hers are valid. And the other one says that Lachoshish for both Kedushin, which sounds exactly like my love, Chad Kudab, Chad Kishmul. So evidently, that sounds exactly like one of them is like Rav and one is like Shmuel. The answer is Loi. I divide Kishmul. No, we can actually say that both Brises agree with Shmuel because the difference is Tan Makashosai, Tan Beshein Makashosai. Here's your point, Ellie. That Makashosai means when she contradicts him. What happens when we're saying that we find her a Begeret. Machashoseh means that she says to her father, I was actually already a Begeret yesterday. There's not even a suffix on today, on this morning, that you could have been Makadosh me, that maybe I didn't develop some on him yet this morning. I already developed them yesterday.
That's enough.
That's the point. If Machashoseh, then we would say that Harei Begeret Sofonenu, that's a strong enough reason to say,
Shmuel would agree in this case.
Shmuel would agree. So Shmuel would agree in that case, that in that case only her condition are valid, so the father's are not.
If she claims.
Right. Whereas if she doesn't contradict him, then you have the suffix. After all, it took place on the six month period. She herself maybe doesn't know because we didn't mention it before. Okay. Then in that, well, that's the question. Fine. In that case, why don't you say if we can shtelein the brises that they're not arguing, maybe the amaroyim are not arguing either. Maybe in fact, Rav and Shmuel are just talking about different cases. Then my answer is no. But Tisbara, how could you think that? I can tell you a case. For Rabbi Yosef Breder of Menashe Midvil, we find that Rabbi Yosef, the son of Rabbi Menashe of Midvil, is the name of a place, Ovid Uvda Kavaseh Rav, he one time actually passed in halacha like Rav, in a case like this, where there were two kedushin, and we say Chazaka Dehashta, and we say only her kedushin are valid, and the fathers are not. The Ikfat Shmuel, and Shmuel objected to it. Shmuel was angry at it. But Omar, and he said a sarcastic expression, Kula Alma, Kaibu, Kabazuta, what is it, like everybody else, Kula Alma, to the whole rest of the world, meaning to all the other Talmudim, Kailula, it's measured out to them, like Chokhma is measured out to them, Kabazuta, with a small cap, with a small measure. This particular Chokham was measured out with a large measure. In other words, how do you have the break type to say in a case of Suffolk Kedushin that the father's tradition are definitely not to throw them out? How do you have the break type to do that? Where everybody is on an equal level, basically. All the Talmidim, don't think of yourself so much higher than everybody else that you can pass in such a difficult case. So therefore, so we see that now the Isak Rech Leipligia, my Kamakvid. Now, if Rav and Shmuel are not arguing, if it's a case of Machashoseh versus not, then what's Shmuel angry about? Shmuel would agree with Rav in certain cases.
But they're not Machashoseh.
That's right. The answer is no, because Dilma Kiyavad or Dilma Machashoseh. No, because you could argue that the story doesn't prove anything, because the story of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Menashe, may have been a case of Machashoseh. Where nevertheless, we could say, in other words, so we could say, yes, maybe Rav and Shmuel don't disagree in that case, but don't disagree. And that's the thing. Everybody would say that Machashoseh, that only her kedushin are good.
Everybody would agree.
Everybody would agree that Machashoseh is, no, Dilma Kiyavad Ugdav Machashoseh. But maybe what it is, in other words, maybe Rav, is, maybe we could say, Rav is talking about where Makhashosai, where she contradicts him, and therefore he's saying that, therefore he's saying that, that the father's tradition are no good. We look at what she said. She said, I was a begeris at the time. Therefore, we go according to that. And then they would still be arguing on the case of Ein Makhashosai. And the case over here was
Shmuel would agree with Rav.
Shmuel would agree with Rav on Makhashosai. This
would
case
agree with him
on Ein Makhashosai. And this case might have been this case might have been where Ein Makhashosai. Yeah. Tosfos brings a couple of different gears over here to say exactly what it is, but whatever. That's the bottom line. Is you could argue that the story doesn't necessarily prove what they're arguing in both cases or on Ein.
They could argue on one and agree on the other.
Exactly. And in fact, as a matter of fact, there is a bit of discussion among the Rishonim. In the end, what the Gemara is concluding, are they in fact arguing only on Makhashosai, or maybe are they also arguing on any Makhashosai? It's a different Rishonim talk about it. You should know that a Meimar said, that the halacha is like Shmuel in this case, so it's a Sufik condition for both of them. However, Rav Ashi on Mehilchos HaKavaseh D'Rav. However, Rav Ashi says the halacha is like Rav, and in fact, Mehilchos HaKavaseh D'Rav, the halacha is in fact like Rav. In this case, only Chazak at the Hashta, we ignore the father's kiddushin. Which Tosfos points out, usually we have the rule throughout Shas that the halacha is like Rav and matters of Issa v'Heter. Why does the Gemara need to point it out over here? The reason is because, after all, you have a Meimor saying the halacha is like Shmuel, therefore the Gemara had the need to point out, and then plus you have the case Shmuel himself was angry at somebody who passed him like Rav, we have to stress that nevertheless, even in this case, the halacha is like Rav.
Where did he take it? I mean,
he had the Kabbalah from his teachers, I guess, so he figured out logically himself that it ought to be like Shmuel.